It's Keith McPherson on The Fan. 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Again, 3 out of 4. These bridge shows, these Lugauers, filling in for Tommy Lugauer, Keith McPherson on the Fan, KM in the PM. Shout out to you wherever you are. So much going on in New York. Maybe you're in traffic, police escorts, and all types of shenanigans happening in the great city. And the New York Mets are getting ready to face the Arizona Diamondbacks, and we will wait 3 hours until the Yankees play again. But the New York Rangers, hottest ticket in town, Game 5. Got to talk about that, but obviously the Mets have been the talk of the town, the baseball world, and we'll start there again. 888-808-1019, like FM. I'm getting tired of talking about the Mets in this fashion. Right, like it's not fun. I'm not, you know, having fun doing this. It's nobody should be enjoying this. Even if you're a Yankee fan, like the joke is over. Like the joke is LOL Mets last night, but it unraveled and has evolved and turned into something that is not really funny. Like a few different things that are not really laughable that came from Jorge Lopez being ejected, throwing his glove, and then talking to the media and the media misinterpreting what he said and running with it. And now it's not funny at all. It's not laughable. And, you know, if you haven't heard, Jorge Lopez last night, this happened right as I got off air. I didn't get to it as I was on air, but I was hearing, you know, Carlos Mendoza talk and Francisco Lindor talk about the players meeting they had. And I was reporting to you guys that Anthony DeComo said that, you know, media was kind of held out of the clubhouse for a minute. But when they did get in there, Jorge Lopez, obviously in his full uniform, upset. And I was just talking to the guys in the newsroom about this, that like the media's got to be better. And obviously you need a diverse set of media members. The Mets have to be better. He should have had an interpreter with him. Even if he didn't want one, you kind of need that guy standing there in that time to, you know, just make sure everything is conveyed in the right way. I thought it was a little ridiculous when it first came out and people were saying, oh, he called the Mets the worst effing team in MLB. Why would he do that? This guy's a competitor. He's a professional ball player. None of these guys like to lose. All of these guys want to win. And, I mean, all jokes aside, like him getting DFA'd, he's going to end up in a better situation. You know, he got out of jail free with all of this. I don't think that was his intent. But what we have been speaking about today and what has come out today is a larger conversation about these Latin players and even the Japanese players who have interpreters, who have translators. English is their second language. And, you know, it's important that we get these guys' messages right. Like, we get what they're saying right, and we don't just run away with this. So Jorge Lopez was painted in, you know, the wrong light. And he just put out a statement. I see SNY just put it up there. Let me go to it. I don't know if Evan and Tiki got to it, but I'll read it. He just put out a statement in Spanish, the first part, and then translated in English, and it reads, first and foremost, I apologize to my teammates, coaches, fans, and front office. I feel that I let them down yesterday, both on and off the field. I also want to clarify my post-game remarks because I had no intention of disparaging the New York Mets organization. During that interview, I spoke candidly about my frustrations with my personal performance and how I felt it made me, in quotes, the worst teammate in the entire league. Unfortunately, my efforts to address the media in English created some confusion and generated headlines that do not reflect what I was trying to express. I wish the team the best and hope that God continues to give me strength and guidance in my personal and professional life. Jorge Lopez. Man, I commend these players. I always think back as a Yankee fan to Masahiro Tanaka or Gary Sanchez. If you ever heard me say what my favorite baseball movie is, my favorite baseball movie is Pelotero. And that's the Miguel Sano story where Gary Sanchez gets mentioned. And I love that movie because it shows a young Miguel Sano in the Dominican Republic and his journey being selected and, you know, him trying to prepare for Major League Baseball to join the Minnesota Twins in the States. And one of the main things they show is him in the classroom as young as like 16 years old learning English. These players want to connect with the fans and media. Most of us who only speak one language, I only speak English, you know. So when people expect me as a young black man to not speak grammatically correct or not speak proper English, I laugh at them because I'm like, I only know one language. I should have a decent grasp of it. 888-808-1019. I have a ton of respect for these young Latin players like Francisco Alvarez, who I just saw speak on Jorge Lopez in English, and he said more than Pete Alonso, the face of the franchise, had to say. So I honestly went from laughing at Jorge Lopez yesterday to really feeling bad for this young man, 31 years old. And I don't know if you guys heard Boomer today kind of issue an apology. I saw the clip that WFAN put out where he kind of walked back some of the things that he had to say. You know, this is a young man in Jorge Lopez whose son is going through a medical procedure and has that on his mind and also has struggled with mental health issues and has some demons and whatnot. And, you know, when the team's losing and not for nothing, you know, he had to come in and try and save the day after Adam Ottavino messed the game up. It's a tough spot. So just moving on from that, man, I hope that all of the media members, instead of running with something, and it could have just been a young person on social media that drafted up the copy to say, you know, the copy was written on SNY at SNY TV incorrectly. It was made out to make it seem like Jorge Lopez said that the Mets were the worst effing team in MLB. And then Steve Gelbs doubled down on the question and asked him again. And I feel like it still got lost in translation. So I'm not laughing about that anymore. I do hope the Mets go out tonight and play well. I did see that they were on the field early. Tim Healy put on Twitter that the infielders were out there early. You saw Carlos Mendoza before the game saying we have standards here. And they might not have a standard or a culture of winning, but there has to be a standard of professionalism. So even before we got to the post-game comments where, you know, you got to clean up the language as well. You can't drop the F-bomb. Jorge Lopez, I was saying on air live watching it happen, he's got to be DFA'd just for the on-field stuff, right? You give up a homer to Shohei Ohtani, so you're obviously upset. Then you go to try and throw to Brett Beatty at third with a pickoff attempt. Brett Beatty's not prepared for it. It just looks stupid. Then Freddie Freeman has a check swing, and DeJesus, the third base, makes the correct call. You argue that call. You get thrown out of the game. You throw a tantrum and throw your glove. Like that right there is why you get DFA'd. And the post-game stuff doesn't help it. But I just, you know, hope that we can be better as media members, hope that we can be better as fans, to not rush to conclusions about a guy who, you know, literally went on his Instagram today and, you know, posted that that's not what he meant. If you follow him on Instagram or you follow any accounts, like baseball accounts on Instagram, I follow Dugout Report and they just screenshotted. He said, whoever hear me, I said teammate. And what I said on the situation, I've been the worst teammate. Thanks to the media for making it worse. Think about it, right? This guy was still in his full uniform when the media got there. So he got ejected. And the game went on in the eighth and the ninth. He did not shower up. He probably sat there, sulked, cried, and then looked at the reaction on his phone. And what he said was, I probably look like the worst teammate in the entire league. 888-808-1019. We're not going through all the LOL Mets moments. We're not like I just we got to move on. I always say we take this day by day, series by series. Well, here we go. Today is a new day. It's a new series. And winning cures all. If the Mets get a win tonight, then I think we can kind of move forward from all of this. Now, Pete Alonso's day-to-day after the CT scan revealed no fracture in his right hand. That's good news. Obviously, a couple days ago, we had good news around Francisco Lindor also not being hurt. But in Yankee land, we got news about an hour and 40 minutes ago that Clark Schmidt will be on the 15-day IL with a lat strain. And for all of the conversation we've had over the last month about Gerrit Cole's return and the six-man rotation, and Luis Gil puts together another masterful performance last night. He's looking like an ace again. He's looking like he could be an all-star. No way could you take him out of the rotation. Yankee fans will riot. And Yankee fans, you guys couldn't be Mets fans for a week. Like, we lose a game to the Angels, a hard-fought, close game. Yankee fans are calling for Rizzo to be sat down, this and that. Mets fans, you definitely have some character building through all of the things that you've seen. But here we go, Yankee fans. Clark Schmidt is hurt, and he's been having a good year. He comes out. Cody Morris has been called up. Gerrit Cole is not back yet. We don't know exactly how long it's going to take for Gerrit Cole to get back. He did throw today. Shout out to my guy, John Brophy, down there in Tampa. I had him on during spring training. He interviewed Cole, asked him straight up. Cole said he threw 43 pitches today. Curveball, fastball, his pitches felt good. And that the next step is to rest, recover, get back on the mound. And there should be a rehab start coming soon. I would expect that to happen in the next couple weeks. We'll keep eyes on that, but these things kind of work themselves out. That's what we've all been saying, right? We can't call it. Maybe it's Nestor. Maybe it's Heel. Well, right now, Clark is down. And with a lat strain, your lat, you ever do lat pull down? Do you know where your lat is? Like, that's not something that you just ice up and come back in 15 days. That's not a 2-week thing. If he's actually got a, serious injury there, his timetable for a return could be months. We'll get more information on that. But, Yankees take a slight L losing Clark Schmidt. We'll see what Cody Morris has in the interim. And bounce back game for the Yankees last night. A couple shenanigans last night from Juan Soto being called out for interference with the infield fly rule, double play. Rizzo loves getting hit by the baseball. He's running and prevents a double play. When I saw it live, I'm like, Rizzo, what are you doing? But then, I had a couple people online like, no, that's preventing a double play. And someone literally in the stadium was like, no, that was a tailor-made double play ball. Whatever. The end result, the Yankees didn't get anything out of that inning. But, man, that was a Volpe game and a Luis Gil game last night. And the future is bright for your New York Yanks, and it's also not that expensive. So for all of you, crying about what Hal Steinbrenner had to say last week, like, just think about it, right? Luis Gil is under control till 2029. Volpe, Yankee fans are already talking about a Volpe extension. He had the Little League home run. This guy hustles out of the box like you've never seen, and his hitting streak continues. He's looking for 22 tonight, and it's good to see the New York Yankees kind of figure it out, where they have homegrown talent that's performing at the major league level, but then you have a couple other pieces in the puzzle, a couple other ingredients in the chemistry of this team. Alex Verdugo hitting a homer last night, kind of breaking that game open when you needed it. And they look to take the series against the Angels tonight. The lineup is out. Let me get that for you guys right now. 888-808-1019, like FM, your New York Yankees leading off. Hold on, I just hit refresh and lost it. I probably know the lineup. Obviously, who's leading off, folks? I just was talking about him. Leading off at shortstop, Anthony Volpe. Batting second, Juan Soto out in right field. Batting third, Aaron Judge in center field. Batting cleanup, Giancarlo Stanton at DH. Batting fifth, Alex Verdugo out in left field. Batting sixth, DJ LeMahieu at first base. Anthony Rizzo does get tonight off after they do get one win in the series. Gleyber Torres will bat sixth, or bat seventh, rather, and play second base. Jose Trevino will bat eighth and catch. Oswaldo Cabrera will be at third, batting ninth. And Carlos Rodon returns to the scene of the crime last year, where Yankee Stadium West heckled him to the point where he came off the mound, and I don't know what the fan said to him, but he blew a kiss in the direction of a California Yankee fan, and all the Yankee universe said, "You don't do that. Who the hell are you? What's wrong with this guy? He better get it together." We're a long way from there. We're a long way from there, and as we're ready for Cole to return, you know, I can't say enough about the bounce back that Carlos Rodon has had, how much so many people said this season hinged on what version of Carlos Rodon we've got, and so far we've got a pretty good version of him. Marcus Stroman as well. It's all good. Take the series, beat the Anaheim Angels tonight. That game will follow my show right here on The Fan. I want to talk football. I really do. As I was listening to BT and Sal and I was listening to Evan and Tiki, I'm like, what can I do today to mix up my show a little bit? And I think there are a couple storylines in the NFL that we should speak on. Obviously, overall in the NFL, if you haven't heard, Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears will be on Hard Knocks this year. So they're not making the playoffs, and they're definitely not going to the Super Bowl. 888-808-1019 like FM. And if you're interested in the money in the NFL, the wide receiver market, Jaylen Waddle just got paid. The Dolphins wide receiver reached an agreement today on a 3-year, $84.75 million contract extension, which includes $76 million guaranteed. And that puts him at number 4 in the top 5 highest paid wide receivers with A.J. Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Tyreek Hill, Jaylen Waddle at 4, and then Davante Adams at 5. How much is Justin Jefferson going to make? How much is Ja'Marr Chase going to make? CeeDee Lamb, T. Higgins, who posted a cryptic message today. And man, the NFL is knocking on the door. And another reason why I wanted to bring the NFL into the picture, because I was seeing a lot of Mets fans like, "Oh, season over. Get the Jets going. Season over. Get me to week one." Yeah, well, why not? Why can't we talk about Drew Lock and Drew Lock speaking on Brian Daboll calling plays and being in his ear and how much he likes the offense and how good the players are on the Giants that he's going up against? Darius Slayton not talking about how much he's getting paid after seeing Jaylen Waddle's contract. He's obviously nowhere near that. He's more focused on helping the team. Steve Smith, not Steve Smith from the Super Bowl, Steve Smith, former Carolina Panther and Baltimore Raven NFL Network guy, is around the Giants facility helping young receivers like Malik Nabers and Jalen Hyatt. So we can definitely talk a little bit of football. I did see my guy Connor Hughes was talking about how, you know, his quote was, "I get it that it's OTAs, but based off what I've seen, I'd be floored if Daniel Jones isn't the runaway QB1. Drew Lock and Tommy DeVito are no real push to be QB1. And I think those guys are getting reps right now as Daniel Jones is rehabbing. But I expect him to be ready for week one. When he initially got hurt and got the surgery, I'm like, I don't see the timeline. The Giants have to draft a QB. They did not draft a QB. They drafted a wide receiver. And man, you gotta love what Brandon Brown said about Malik Nabers. He said he's got moxie, dog. The cool kids call it aura. He wants to be at his best versus the best on the biggest platform, and he's going to let you know about it." So, number 9, Malik Nabers for your New York Football Giants. And number 8 for your New York Jets. Aaron Rodgers is scaring some folks. I saw Uncle Craig talking about it this morning on his show. Aaron Rodgers got some treatment, and he was hobbling around a little bit on the practice field. I don't know. I don't know how much you read into that, but he had some right foot discomfort. And so now people are, as you should be, on high alert. You know, your whole season hinges on that man's health. We saw it last year. Lightning can't strike twice. They need to have a brace, a boot, a special cleat, sock, whatever, for Aaron Rodgers at 40 years old to stay upright. We didn't mention anything about Tariq Cohen yesterday. Tariq Cohen signed with the Jets, more so as a depth piece. He's been out of the league for the last three seasons. And with this new kickoff rule, I read something that the Jets are just looking to have options. Obviously, Xavier Gibson is the guy, but with this new kickoff rule, you need options. You need guys that can catch that ball and return it this year. I mean, speaking of options, out of the Steelers camp, Russell Wilson is talking about how dangerous Justin Fields can be. And now there's rumors that Arthur Smith, former head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, will have some kind of package for Justin Fields, not just that quarterback. But I remember a couple months ago, they were talking about him potentially returning kicks. So, man, we've got some football stuff to add into the mix. For the Dallas Cowboys fans out there, it's not going to be a good year. It's not. They're talking too much about Trey Lance. And on today's OTAs, Micah Parsons is not present. Micah Parsons is more visible and available courtside at Dallas Mavericks games. And talking to Luka and talking to Dirk Nowitzki and getting free shoes from Anthony Edwards. Game 5 in the Western Conference Finals is also tonight, coming up at 8:30. The Dallas Mavericks look to eliminate the Minnesota Timberwolves. So, man, let's talk all around the sports, not just in New York. Maybe we'll come back and we'll play Darren Waller's new hit song. But I just don't want to harp on the Mets. Give the Mets fans a break. We get it. It's been a rough, not just 24 hours. It's really been a rough, like, 5 days. And hopefully they go out there and get a win tonight. Hopefully the Yankees win, and we have positive energy and good things to talk about. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. You know the number yet? 888-808-1019, like FM. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
Hard to love.
Exclusive.
It's hard to be free.
New Darren Waller.
It's hard to give out of your soul.
Yeah.
Have your heart broken in return, but
turn me up.
It's time.
Take your time in here. Just take a time out in fear. The nights we opened up and we knew how much that you and I were here.
Kelsey Plum don't
how
play tonight.
I gotta climb up this hill. I'm tired and I wanna be still. Imagine if we fell out of time.
Man, new Darren Waller, folks, if you haven't heard that. Let it run a little bit right here when the beat comes in.
Thought of love was rare.
Hey, hey.
Who know that love is real?
Kelsey Plum, it's for you.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Las Vegas Aces play tomorrow night.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I know he can sing.
Thought of love was rare.
All right. Let's
you know, Darren Waller just sneaking in a little bit of a curse there. I didn't realize it was uncensored.
I dumped it. So hopefully we got at least the beginning of that. All right, I don't want to joke too much because I know if Darren Waller is dead serious about his ex-wife and his music career, it might be on site for me. So, you know, let's just say Darren Waller, if clearly music is something that you're spending your time, money, and energy on, good for you, bro. I hope you come out with that hit record, album, all that. But around these parts, these folks want to know if you're going to play for the G-Men. If not, the Giants seem prepared. But it's kind of odd that the Giants are practicing. The Giants are getting reps right now, throwing passes, catching passes, running plays. And you're dropping TRL. No, yeah. The first thing I did was see, like, does Kelsey Plum have a game today? Because I'm sure somebody hit her with the link, like, yo, watch this. There's a chick in the video that I guess is supposed to be her. Tall white girl, black hair. She's like sitting at a table arguing with him. And later in the video, they're on the beach. Waves are crashing against the sand and they embrace and she stabs him in the back. And I'm like, what is this supposed to mean? What is this symbolizing? I thought, I don't know. I haven't paid that much attention because I really don't care about people's relationships that much. I care about the football player. Are you playing or not, bro? I drafted this guy in fantasy last year late. Thought I had a steal. You balling or not? Just hang it up. And I know he's on the reserve list or whatever. Like, I just think it's a wrap. But go ahead and say that. If it's over, say that. Like, you're getting roasted online. Clearly, you want to be a rapper and a singer. just go ahead, dude. I'm sure you've made your money. There was a line in the song where he says something like, I don't care about your day job. I'm like, is he talking about the fact that Kelsey Plum is a two-time NBA champion and like one of the best college players ever? Like,
she's not an accountant working a 9-to-5.
Yeah, what are you talking about? Her day job, bro. She doesn't work at Amazon. Like, she's Kelsey Plum. No offense to anybody that works at Amazon. That's just the first thing that came in my head. I tried to get a job at Amazon. I didn't make it too far. I sat there for the consultation. That's a story for another time. I've done a bunch of odd jobs. So 888-808-1019-FM. A couple other things as the Mets are getting started. I see Daryl Strawberry number retirement ceremony Saturday, June 1st. As we take this day by day, series by series, week by week, month to month, here comes a new month. I don't think there's going to be a June swoon. They just flashed that the Mets lost 19 games in May to lead MLB. Thank God for the two games that you took from the Cardinals to take that only series. But yeah, the sun will come out tomorrow. I think Gary or Keith or one of them said that recently. You just got to hope for better days. Another note on Jorge Lopez, as you should have some empathy for him and his situation. I got the specifics on his son, Michael. He suffers from a rare disorder called Familia Mediterranean Fever. It's a condition that causes immense physical discomfort and requires regular hospital visits. And unfortunately, you know, that's been weighing heavy on Jorge Lopez's shoulders. And yesterday was his son's birthday. He turned 11. So come on, y'all. Like, we got to just... There's no LOL Mets with that. We got to understand these are human beings. That was a tough moment. Now this guy is out of a job. I don't think it'll be for long. But when you kind of get the backstory and you kind of understand what happened there, and you know, even what happened in the post game, you got to have some type of compassion and understanding for someone like that. Okay, back to the phones. Well, I haven't answered the phone, so straight to the phone. Dwayne in Union, New Jersey, on the fan. What's up, my guy?
Miserable May as a Met fan. There's 2 days left. We got Young Scott tonight. We got Seve tomorrow. Let's get it. Let's get two.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for Saturday. I will be in Citi Field for Daryl Strawberry, just like I was for Doc.
Okay.
I hope everybody comes out. I hope everyone gives this man what he deserves. Let's come there ready to cheer. Let's come there ready for our team. Hey, man. It was a miserable May, right? New series, new hope. Let's get out there. Let's do it. As far as Mr. Lopez, all I know is he took the ball every time Mindy gave it to him.
Mm-hmm.
He had a rough day. You give people grace. I wish the best for him in the future. Hey, man, let's go Mets. Let's get it tonight.
Great call, Dwayne. I mean, for the Met fan that can stay positive through rock bottom, for the Met fan that can stay positive for the next 4 months of the season, that's the way you almost got to be. It's no fun to lose. You don't get into this to lose. None of us pick a team to be miserable and have it affect your day and your relationships and your life. And here we go. Fresh baseball game for us to watch tonight. First pitch, we are underway. Christian Scott, that's a ball upstairs. No biggie. Corbin Carroll steps in, and now we've got a live Mets game on. Mike is up in the Bronx where the Yanks play. What's up, Mike?
What's up, Keith? Longtime Yankee fan, but I got to back Lopez on this one. And much respect to Boomer Esiason, because he spoke about it this morning as well and said how difficult it was for him to keep what was going on with Gunner when Gunner was born.
Yeah.
And what was going on with him, and to separate that from his actions on the field and his personal life. So, you know what? I'm used to the professionalism set by the pinstripes, but sometimes certain things in life even transcend baseball. And for that, I would give Lopez a pass. You know, it's not like what Javi Baez or Lindor did, flipping the bird to the fans. This man is going through something with his child, so I think he gets a pass on that one.
No, yeah, he definitely gets a pass. Hopefully he lands on his feet with another opportunity with another team. Thanks for the call, Mike. Yeah, it was National Sons Day yesterday and his son's birthday yesterday. And we all have our moments where we reach our boiling point. I think anybody can understand having a rough day at work. And he had a rough day at work and ended up losing his job. So hopefully, like I said, he lands on his feet. And hopefully the Mets bounce back. Like, the team meeting they had, when you're having a team meeting, the team meeting is supposed to be like, okay, enough is enough. The coach, the manager, right, the authority figure doesn't have to say anything. We don't need fans. We don't need media. This is the team looking at each other and holding each other accountable. So we're going to watch tonight. Obviously, it's baseball. It's a game of failure. There's going to be some things that you can't control. But let's watch their effort tonight. Let's watch their compete level tonight. Let's see how they respond tonight in Queens. Ooh, first out. Right at the wall. Brandon Nimmo makes the play in center field. Moving right along. I mean, speaking of responding tonight, the Rangers are about to play in about 45 minutes. And I was reading an article from Larry Brooks, and I'll read some quotes from it. You know, sounds better when these journalists and these older guys say stuff than me. But what I was saying about the Rangers and to Rangers fans yesterday, when, you know, we're coming off of a overtime loss and the series is tied, is like, yo, it's not supposed to be easy. You're not just going to sweep. You're in the Eastern Conference Finals. It's supposed to be tough. It's supposed to go to OT. It's supposed to be a small margin of victory, right? You're playing to go to the Stanley Cup Finals. I don't know if you remember me saying all this yesterday. Well, Larry Brooks comes out with an article at 6:32, and the title is, "It's Not Supposed to Be Easy for the Rangers at This Point." He says, we've seen how hard the hockey was contested through the first four games of the ECF. We have acknowledged how difficult it was for the Rangers and Panthers to create time and space. This should come as no surprise. It's supposed to be hard when you get to the Final Four. It's supposed to be difficult when you are playing for a chance to compete for the Cup. What about the Stanley Cup is the hardest trophy to win in professional sports confuses you? I'm like, man, did Larry hear me? Because I know Larry knows way more hockey than me, but the sentiment is, you know, just something that you know as a sports fan. When you make it to it, and I likened it to the NBA. It's not like the NBA where the Celtics can just sweep the Pacers, or, you know, here we might see a gentleman sweep of the Timberwolves. It's hockey, man. And that's why everybody hypes up the hockey playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, and it's supposed to be tough. It's not supposed to be easy. But tonight in the Garden, you know, with tickets up to $4,000 in New York City, only ticket in town, hottest ticket in town, really. Obviously, the Mets have another ticket in town, but there's the attendance at Madison Square Garden most likely beats the attendance at Citi Field. I'm sorry, I said I was done with the joke. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa. New Darren Waller. Thought our love was real. Thought our love was real. Kelsey Plum. Josh is up in the Bronx. Josh, you're on the
fan. Oh, Keith. You want positive energy? I'll tell you, all four sports, it don't come easy, baby, getting a title. Baseball, hockey, basketball, football, no matter what sport, soccer, it don't come easy, man. I mean, you have to have a lot of heart and determination, brother. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you want to turn the page and start all over like it's a beginning, you know? And especially for the New York Mets, just turn the page and start all over in a couple of days. You know what? That June 1st Saturday, man, can start the Mets off on the right foot. I mean, you know, Let them win tonight. Let them win tomorrow night, and get into June and start. You know, and start fresh. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's in the past. They got swept.
Right.
It's been rough. Rock bottom. The only way to go is up.
Beautiful call, Keith. Thank you for taking it. Have a great night, sir.
Thanks for the call, Josh. Yeah, man. It's about how you respond. Christian Scott gets out of the first inning clean. We go to the bottom of the first. And, yeah, you know, even with the Rangers tonight, it's another opportunity. Win tonight, right? It's a new series. There's three games. You got two at home. Win tonight, you have the advantage. Win tonight, and then the Panthers are facing elimination. 888-808-1019. Ron in Southwest Florida on the Fan in New York.
Hey, about time we start talking about the Rangers. We got four more months of the Mets debacle. We got.
That's what I was saying today as I was listening to the Fan. I was like, you would think the Rangers are not hosting a game five down the street.
Exactly. But they are. I'm hoping to go back to game one. The Capitals, that team was 23-2 at the end of the year. With Rempy in, they're 10-2 in the playoffs. When they bring a sub off the bench, some guy off the IR, we lose a game. We brought some guy with a messed up knee, and we brought Cheadle in. I mean, what's going on up there? Get back to the original lineup that won this four game.
I'm kind of with you on that. And I talked about how the Knicks, they needed bodies. The Rangers were getting bodies back. But you know what? Just because you're getting bodies back doesn't mean that those guys are going to come in and make an impact. Sometimes that can mess with what you've been doing.
No, I know. With all the games that they're doing back-to-back a couple days, you know, every other day, I mean, at one point in time, for a minute, I was saying, you know, give Quick a blow in there, but you can't mess with Igor. He's like a genius, and he won three games on his own and hasn't lost us a game, really. What lost us games were bringing guys off the bench. One guy had, no offense to Cheadle, but he played three games since November. And then, what's his name with the knee?
Blake
the other
Wheeler.
Day, he came in. Yeah, he was a weight. You know what I mean? Let the guys go. And I want to say about Rempy being young and a rookie, he adds verve to the team. He adds energy. He brings laughter to the bench. I mean, guys are, they love when he's around.
Yeah, he's a kid. He's clearly a kid having fun out there, wagging his finger. He's the biggest guy out there, just happy to be playing in the Eastern Conference Finals.
And that's contagious. And I saw him the other day playing, laying his body out, doing some things. You know, he's maturing. And, if he's our future, then, well, let him show him what it's like to win a Stanley Cup. Let him be part of the team. Because I tell you what, he got us to where we are. He got us the President's Cup. He was integral in all that stuff from game one outside. He was playing against the Mikelanders. All right?
Yes, sir. Thanks for the call, Ron. 888-808-1019. Rangers fans, call up as we count down about 40 minutes till the puck drops. Game five, Madison Square Garden. The nerves are a part of it. The nervousness, the anxiety, it's a part of it. It's May 30th. You're still playing. This is how you're supposed to feel. It's not a regular season game. There's so much at stake. There's so much on the line. There's so much money spent in that building to be in that building. And you got to just understand that these guys, man, what I've been saying about the Rangers, they have so many good players that you're waiting on them to show themselves. I put money tonight on Mika Zibanejad to score, Chris Kreider to score. And look at the make it happen Mets. A leadoff knock from Francisco Lindor, one on, no outs. And already you can tell they're smiling in the dugout. They're cheering him on. You can already tell, hey, it's a new day. Turn the page. Baseball is like life, man. You get a new day, new life. And it seems like the Mets are playing with that kind of energy. Hopefully it turns into a win tonight. Keith McPherson on the Fan tonight till 8:55. And then Yankee baseball comes your way. Yankee fans, we do got to get into the conversation around Anthony Rizzo taking a seat. DJ LeMahieu at first base. Oswaldo Cabrera getting a chance to get back in there. Maybe he'll make an impact. And, yeah, Clark Schmidt is down. He's on the 15-day IO. He's got a lat issue. It ain't going to take 15 days. And what's this? Is their starting pitcher hurt right now? Zach Gallen. I think Zach Gallen might be hurt the way he looks. We'll come back. We got to take a break. But we'll come back with an update on the Mets game. I think their starting pitcher for the Arizona Diamondbacks, Zach Gallen, who's been in Cy Young conversations the last couple of years, one of the best in the National League. Something is up with him. As I'm watching, he he throws that pitch and he skips off the mound a way that looks like he's not right. So, yeah. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Let's take this break. We'll be right back.
Time if you take your time, you feel the way fall off. Your plans are, go ahead and call off. Tired of your day job.
Did you go
we
and edit
go
this?
That dirt road yeah. Like yeah. We can go play off.
We had to get the full thing.
Laughing your face off.
Shout out to Connor Green.
Slide right down that highway, we can take off. Why you
Wayne got us the clean
off.
Edit. New Darren Waller on the Fan.
Kelsey Plum's day job.
Like, come on, bro.
She's not an accountant. She plays in the WNBA.
That tells you everything right there, right? Okay, bring the music now. If this guy is also a professional athlete, was Darren Waller currently... is on the Giants roster. Like, you are an NFL player, bro. That's how we know you, not from your raps. If you have a lyric where you say, I don't care about your day job, and you're talking about your ex-wife, we assume, who's a professional basketball player, what can we assume about your day job, folks? Like, I
whoa, whoa, whoa.
You can't make this stuff up, man. Like... The Giants are practicing. They're doing install. They're trying to get reps. And my man just dropped his new single about his relationship with WNBA superstar Kelsey Plum.
It's like, hey, Darren, you ready to come to OTAs? You ready to go to work?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
He is getting memed. He is getting, like, people are clipping the video. Because it's just like, I don't know, man. We are in an odd time, bro. We are in this social media era, this everything for clicks. We're like, so many people are just motivated on, like, what video I can put out there into the world to be seen, to be like, you don't need to do this. I just saw Pro Fantasy Football Focus took a tweet from a kid named Alex Katzen. We are nowhere near fantasy football drafts, but he writes, fantasy football last place punishment, recreating the Dallas... recreating the Darren Waller divorce music video shot for shot.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Could you imagine that? You come in last in your fantasy league? You know, if you draft Darren Waller like I did, you might come in last. I didn't come in last. I never come in last. I don't know where I ended up. But
and you have to go to the beach and let someone film you as the water comes over your face as you're laying down sadly in the sand.
You got to find an open field and someone with a yellow Jeep, and you got to walk side by side the Jeep as, like, I don't know, dude. I just don't understand. I don't get it. But good for him. I just think he should. I would pay to see Brian Daboll watching this video on his phone. Like, or Joe Shane, like, really? This is who we traded for? This is the guy? 888-808-1019 FM, the Fan in New York. Gotta just laugh at different things. Gotta just chuckle at things. Another thing I gotta laugh out of, you know, as much as people talk down on Rob Saleh, right? As much as people put him at the bottom of the list, when you look at NFL coaches saying he's the worst coach in the NFL, there's a list that just came out that ranks him number one, baby. Rob Saleh is ranked the sexiest coach in the NFL. Rob Saleh has been named the sexiest head coach in the NFL. Who is this by? Rob Saleh has been revealed as the hottest coach with the highest beauty score in the league of 8.0 out of 10. He's been predicted to look 41 years old, 4 years younger, based off his face scan. Free bets used by the app Beauty Scan. I don't know what goes on. Just, I don't know, just throwing some stuff out there, man. Good for Rob Saleh getting some love. He's on the top of the best-looking coaches list. You might not understand what he does. You might not like his in-game stance and stares. But someone out there has got him ranked as the best-looking coach in the NFL. Mike McCarthy would like a word. 888-808-1019. We're getting ready for the Rangers game. Oh, I did say I was going to update you on what was going on with Zach Gallen. So, like I suspected, he exited the game. He's out of there. And it looks like the Mets are taking advantage. Shout out to my boy Dre, who just pointed out that Lindor is on a 9-game hit streak. So, pretty soon you got to hit refresh on your information, folks. He started off slow, but it's about to be June. It's not June anymore. He's been leading off, and he's been getting some knocks. And now, with Zach Gallen out, this is looking like a game that, it's looking like a game. 888-808-1019. Let me see what they actually said about Gallen. And just he left the game with an apparent injury. Nobody really knows yet. Speaking of injuries, with Clark Schmidt, all the Yankee beat writers are putting out there that Clark Schmidt will be shut down for 4 to 6 weeks. Like I just was telling you, this is like a 2-month thing. This isn't a 15-day thing. So Clark Schmidt will be shut down 4 to 6 weeks with the lat strain. And they're saying it's just 4 to 6 weeks of no throwing. So I don't know. Cody Morris was the corresponding move, but Cody Poteet will start Saturday against the San Francisco Giants out there at Oracle Park. All right, let's get back to the phones. My guy Bruce out in Flushing back on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, some Ranger points and Yankee points. First on the Rangers. Now, I'm not surprised with that 2-2. I'm the guy who called you up and told you Rangers in 7 with a goal in double overtime. Mm-hmm. So this does not surprise me. And let me remind my fellow Ranger fans, do you not remember 1994? We won a cup that year. But Game 7, Devils, double overtime, blew the lead with 7 seconds. 7 games against Vancouver. So, as you say, in order to win the Stanley Cup, it takes aggravation. It takes pain. And teams are very close. But things get done, and you should not freak out. And even with that, the Vancouver Canucks and the Devils hit a few goalposts along the way. So the difference on winning and losing a Stanley Cup is razor thin. That's point number one.
Yes, sir.
Point number two, the Rangers, for some reason, and especially Peter Laviolette, is playing scared. Play Rempe. So what? He gets a penalty or two if he does. Truba does. You're not benching Truba, are you? You need Rempe's physical play. And I know the referees are targeting Rempe. I understand that. But, have a good enough penalty killing unit that you can stand it. But you need Rempe's physical play. He inspires not only
the crowd. How many minutes for Rempe tonight?
What I would do or what Laviolette
would do? Yeah, or what you would do or what you're expecting.
I'm expecting at least the first 2 periods and maybe he'll cut back on the 3rd period.
Oh, that's a lot. He played 6 minutes in the last game, and most people
usually... Well, he should be playing 10 or 12 at least, if not more than that.
Okay.
And Kreider is going to have a great game tonight. Because when the chips are down and the Rangers need to win and the Rangers need to score goals, Kreider is the man.
Yeah, let's see it. He's got to rise up.
As far as the Yankees, like you said, Cody Poteet is going to be a guy they bring up in the next couple of days. Don't be surprised if Poteet is having problems, that the Yankees reach down to Double A and bring up this lefty, Brock Savage.
Okay.
Good pitcher. He's been pitching very well this past month. And one thing I would like for you to investigate, how much effect has Andy Pettitte had with Rondon?
Mm-hmm.
I know he also taught the Savage a little bit also, but listen, what was Pettitte? Cutter and change-ups. And I really believe Pettitte had a big impact on Rondon, and I would like for you to check that out.
Yeah, I can ask around. Thanks for the call, Bruce. I do remember hearing, I forget where I heard it from, so I can't cite it, but someone was asking about, like, does Andy Pettitte come in and Matt Blake get out of the way? Like, when Andy Pettit's talking to the pitchers, does he just have the floor? I'm sure it helps. I'm sure Andy Pettitte and his knowledge of the game helps everybody that is listening. 888 808-1019. If you're listening and you want to join the show, we're talking obviously about the Rangers heading into Game 5, a crucial Game 5 in the Garden. I just saw Johnny Lazarus, who I've had on. He just said, and this is something I love about hockey that I, you know, I just wasn't thinking about ever until I started going to games. Johnny Lazarus said, this is the coldest he's ever felt it in Madison Square Garden. Those bad ice comments were taken personally, it seems. Like, I love that, especially May 30th. It could be warmer outside, but, like, you go in from, you know, hot, musty, smelly New York City streets into the Garden, and hopefully you got a hoodie under your sweater. That's, you know, I think that's cool. The first Devils game I went to, I wasn't expecting that for some reason. I just wasn't thinking about it. And I verbally said, oh, it's cold in here. Yeah, it's a big slab of ice in the middle of the arena that they got to keep cold. I'm very interested in watching this Rangers game. I feel like they've got to set the tone. I feel like all the conversation that was had about Game 1, about the fans were quiet, the fans were sitting on their hands. Well, what I had said about Game 1 was, yo, it's Game 1. It's not Game 5. It's not an elimination Game 6 or 7. It's Game 1. There's just this wait-and-see feeling, this nervousness of, oh, we're actually here. Let's see how it goes. Man, you can't let that set in tonight. You also can't let the Panthers take a lead, commanding lead, have another 1-0 lead for 2 hours. Like, the Rangers have to assert themselves. They have to dominate. They have to keep the crowd on their side tonight. And it could be a good night for New York and New York Rangers fans. 888-808-1019. Let's see if I can sneak another call in before we go to break. Tom in Commack, New York, on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. That guy Bruce, clearly, I don't know if he watches a lot of hockey because he wants to give Rempe 12 minutes. Let's be real here. Yeah,
that's why I was like, wait, how many minutes are we talking about here now?
He didn't know.
Yeah, but it's okay.
He doesn't know how minutes
work. People love Matt Rempe. He's a cult classic. He's a folk hero at this point. But, like, this is the Eastern Conference Finals, bro.
There's a reason he's playing 4 minutes because, you know, he's out there to get the crowd going. But other than that, he's kind of a liability, let's be real.
Right.
Obviously, I mean, clearly I'm not a pro Ranger guy here, but I think that this run that they're on, obviously it's amazing, but I think obviously it's on the coattails of Igor Shesterkin, and it's very, very clear. I go back to Game 1 of Carolina, and I can't confidently say that they've been the better team in any game going from now back to Game 1 of Carolina. I don't know if you've watched game for game.
I have.
But
I know there's been a lot of luck, but, like, you need luck.
I agree. Because, I mean, I'm an Islander fan. I go back to our, you know, COVID runs and all that stuff. And obviously, like, there's plenty of nights that we're not the better team, but we come out with the lucky bounce and the win.
And if you have a good goalie, that's what I've been saying. I'm like, man, the Devils got to get a good goalie. They have to find the guy. Because, like, just having that one player can change your entire fate.
I agree. I think Carolina was the better team in maybe all six of those games. But you compare Igor to Freddie Anderson, and it's night and day.
Yeah, so you need a goalie, you need some luck, and, you know, obviously they had the Chris Kreider hat trick game where one player just took over the game. That's not going to happen ever.
That's what I'm saying. They look dead going into that third period, and then one bounce, and boom, they're on to the Eastern Conference Finals. All right, our last point. I think if the Rangers lose tonight, there's no chance they win 6 and 7. I think it probably ends in 6, and I'm almost confident that Mika is very hurt. And Adam Fox is very hurt, and I think that's clearly an issue right now.
All right, Tom. Thanks for the call. But, hey, we're supposed to be positive energy here with about 20 minutes until puck drops. When that puck drops, it's on. And there's no looking back. There's no turning back. I don't know. I think this is a special run for the Rangers, and I think most people have kind of heard my position as a Devils fan. I'm not coming on the air and putting my fandom in front of the story. I don't think I've been a fan long enough to do that. I don't think I've been on the Fan long enough to do that, if you're picking up what I'm putting down. You know, this Rangers team all season, they've been a wagon. This Rangers team all year, we've been talking about, hey, this is a team that could win the Stanley Cup. They are 6 wins away from doing that. I'm not saying I'm rooting for them to do that, but I'm also not rooting against it. I'm watching. like Evan says, an IHO. But even Evan's not an IHO. He picked up the Florida Panthers. You know, I don't gain anything out of the Florida Panthers going to the Stanley Cup. The Rangers go to the Stanley Cup, then every night that I'm on the Fan, I get to talk about the Rangers being in the Stanley Cup. They win the Stanley Cup, and we get to talk about history being made, a parade coming back to the city, and I'll 100% be there. 888-808-1019-FM, KM in the PM. We'll be right back. Yeah, yeah. Okay, quickly here before the top of the hour, 8 o'clock approaches. Keith McPherson on the Fan, 888-808-1019. So the Arizona Diamondbacks have gone to a straight bullpen game. They're using their third pitcher here in the bottom of the second. It's still scoreless in Citi Field. But like I was saying, you know, if you believe in the baseball gods and if you just watch baseball and you just believe in, like, the fact that you get a new game, a new series, a new day, and the past is in the past, and all you got to do is turn the page, like, this opportunity for the Mets to win, winning cures all, I think this just played right into their hands with young Christian Scott looking for his first win in front of Mets fans that decided to show up to this game tonight. Let's see if they get it done. I mean, it's not packed in there at all. I made the joke that there's going to be more folks at Madison Square Garden than Citi Field. It's not even a joke. You know, Madison Square Garden will be at capacity. I don't expect more than like 15, 16,000 folks to be in Flushing. And SNY just showed, you know, some kids up in the 400 level. It's so empty that these kids can just run through multiple sections without disturbing anybody or blocking anyone's view. It's a 400 level. No one's really going to be up there. Even if you buy a ticket that high up, you don't have to go sit up there. But anyway, back to the phones we go. Obviously, we're talking about the Rangers as the Rangers get ready for Game 5. The Rangers are on the ice warming up. And we'll get into the Yankees conversation more in this next hour as we get closer to coverage of Yankees baseball on the Fan. Let's go to Peter in Manhattan. Peter, you got it.
How you doing, Keith? Good evening. Just quickly, I was reading the top, the three youngest players in the NBA. The first name is Jackson. So I hope Jackson's doing well.
In the NBA?
The three youngest players in the NBA today, first name is Jackson.
Yeah, I know there's Major League Baseball, there's Jackson Churio, there's Jackson Holiday, there's a lot of young Jacksons in baseball.
Right.
Yeah, I hope my son is inclined to pick up the bat and ball and mitt.
Right. Yeah, now, Keith, I'm calling for another reason. So I'm reading the other day, I mean, I don't know, that now they're going to incorporate the Negro League history into the Major League records. So as an example now, Josh Gibson, who was the best hitter, he had a lifetime average of .372. So now he's going to be ranked as a top Major League hitter average-wise in Major League history, overtaking Ty Cobb. So the question I have, is this correct? And if so, your thoughts? I'll hang up while I hear your thoughts, and thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks, Peter. I've kind of stayed away from the topic because I don't really know how I feel about it. It's been a few days. I've read some things. It's a positive thing, and I don't want to pour cold water on it. But, like, to me, it's nothing. To me, you know, thanks for the call. But, like, if you've followed me and you've seen, like, I've been over there at Hinchcliffe Stadium in Paterson, New Jersey, multiple times now, three times now. And I'm someone that has shown up to support their efforts over there as they restored one of the two lasting Negro League ballparks in this country. Coming up in this month of June will be the Rickwood Field game, where it's almost like Field of Dreams. Down in Birmingham, Alabama, the Cardinals will face the Giants in the other restored Negro League baseball ballpark. Now, with this news of, you know, the records and Major League Baseball recognizing the Negro League stats and records alongside of Major League Baseball records, I'll say that I can appreciate it because it is going to tell a story for years to come. It will include that history for years to come. It won't just be 1947 Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier. The story and the stats will be available of the Negro Leagues for kids to learn about. forever in that capacity. But at the same time, the Negro Leagues were the Negro Leagues. Why were the Negro Leagues created? Because those guys weren't allowed to play in Major League Baseball. So fast forward all of these years now, to hear the news that, the Negro Leagues records and stats, I guess it's cool, but what does that really do? To me, I don't know. It felt like just kind of empty. It felt like, all right, like, but like, I don't want to pour cold water on it. It's a good thing, and I'm glad that the history will be told. I'm glad that the stories will live on, because once upon a time, they tried to not tell those stories. Once upon a time, they tried to act like, those legends didn't exist. But I don't know. I have an issue with it, because in the Negro Leagues, right, there's stories of women playing in the Negro Leagues and all different kinds of characters playing in the Negro League. So now we're going to take those stats and include them with Major League Baseball stats and then have new leaders. And I don't know. None of it matters. The Hall of Fame doesn't matter. It's all a joke. What matters is, I guess they're trying to do right. And better late than never trying to do right. Better late than never trying to correct, the errors of our past. But for me, I hadn't brought it to the table. I had it in my notes, I think on Monday or Tuesday, but I did not really know how I wanted to articulate my point, and I just did my best to do it there. But, when I saw that, congrats to Josh Gibson's family. Rest in peace to him, right? Now he's above Ty Cobb. Really, it doesn't mean anything besides the stories of the Negro Leagues will be told so that young kids that are getting into baseball and learning about baseball will understand the history of the racism and the history of the segregation that existed all those years ago. And, it's just, I don't know. To me, it doesn't mean anything. To me, I'm happy that people are celebrating it, but ultimately, what does it do? What does it change? You can't change the past. I guess it changes the future as far as young.
Time if you take your time, you feel the wave fall off. Your plans off. Go ahead and call off. Tired of your day job.
Did you go
we
and edit this?
That dirt road yeah. Like kids, yeah. We can go play off.
You had to get the full thing.
Laughing your face off.
Shout out to Connor Green.
Slide right down that highway. We can take off. While you
Wayne got us the clean
off.
Edit. New Darren Waller on the Fan.
Kelsey Plum's day job.
Like, come on, bro.
She's not an accountant. She plays in the WNBA.
That tells you everything right there, right? Okay, bring the music back. If this guy is also a professional athlete, was Darren Waller currently is on the Giants roster. Like, you are an NFL player, bro. That's how we know you, not from your raps. If you have a lyric where you say, I don't care about your day job, and you're talking about your ex-wife, we assume, who's a professional basketball player, what can we assume about your day job, folks? Like, I
whoa.
You can't make this stuff up, man. Like, the Giants are practicing. They're doing install. They're trying to get reps. And my man just dropped his new single about his relationship with WNBA superstar Kelsey Plum.
It's like, hey, Darren, you ready to come to OTAs? You ready to go to work?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
He is getting memed. He is getting, like, people are clipping the video. Because it's just like, I don't know, man. We are in an odd time, bro. We are in this social media era, this everything for clicks. We're like, so many people are just motivated on, like, what video I can put out there into the world to be seen. To be like, you don't need to do this. I just saw Pro Fantasy Football Focus took a tweet from a kid named Alex Katzen. We are nowhere near fantasy football drafts, but he writes, fantasy football last place punishment, recreating the Dallas... recreating the Darren Waller divorced music video shot for shot.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Could you imagine that? You come in last in your fantasy league You know, well, if you draft Darren Waller like I did, you might come in last. I didn't come in last. I never come in last. I don't know where I ended up. But
and you have to go to the beach and let someone film you as the water comes over your face as you're laying down sadly in the sand.
You got to find an open field and someone with a yellow Jeep, and you got to walk side by side the Jeep as, like, I don't know, dude. I just don't understand. I don't get it. But good for him. I just think he should. I would pay to see Brian Daboll watching this video on his phone. Or Joe Shane, like, really? This is who we traded for? This is the guy? 888-808-1019 FM, The Fan in New York. Gotta just laugh at different things. Gotta just chuckle at things. Another thing I gotta laugh out of, you know, as much as people talk down on Rob Saleh, right? As much as people put him at the bottom of the list, when you look at NFL coaches saying he's the worst coach in the NFL, there's a list that just came out that ranks him number one, baby. Rob Saleh is ranked the sexiest coach in the NFL. Rob Saleh has been named the sexiest head coach in the NFL. Who is this by? Rob Saleh has been revealed as the hottest coach with the highest beauty score in the league of 8.0 out of 10. He's been predicted to look 41 years old, 4 years younger, based off his face scan. Free bets used by the app Beauty Scan. I don't know what goes on. Just, I don't know, just throwing some stuff out there, man. Good for Rob Saleh getting some love. He's on the top of the best-looking coaches list. You might not understand what he does. You might not like his in-game stance and stares. But someone out there has got him ranked as the best-looking coach in the NFL. Mike McCarthy would like a word. 888-808-1019. We're getting ready for the Rangers game. Oh, I did say I was going to update you on what was going on with Zach Gallen. So, like I suspected, he exited the game. He's out of there. And it looks like the Mets are taking advantage. Shout out to my boy Dre, who just pointed out that Lindor is on a 9-game hit streak. So, pretty soon you got to hit refresh on your information, folks. He started off slow, but it's about to be June. It's not June anymore. He's been leading off, and he's been getting some knocks. And now, with Zach Gallen out, this is looking like a game that, you know, it's looking like a game. 888-808-1019. Let me see what they actually said about Gallen. And just, he left the game with an apparent injury. Nobody really knows yet. Speaking of injuries, with Clark Schmidt, all the Yankee beat writers are putting out there that Clark Schmidt will be shut down for 4 to 6 weeks. Like I just was telling you, this is like a 2-month thing. This isn't a 15-day thing. So Clark Schmidt will be shut down 4 to 6 weeks with the lat strain. And they're saying it's just 4 to 6 weeks of no throwing. So I don't know. Cody Morris was the corresponding move, but Cody Poteet will start Saturday against the San Francisco Giants out there at Oracle Park. All right, let's get back to the phones. My guy, Bruce, out in Flushing, back on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, some Ranger points and Yankee points. First on the Rangers. Now, I'm not surprised about you, too. I'm the guy who called you up and told you Rangers in 7 with a goal in double overtime. Mm-hmm. So this does not surprise me. And let me remind my fellow Ranger fans, do you not remember 1994? We won a cup that year. But Game 7, Devils, double overtime, blew the lead with 7 seconds. 7 games against Vancouver. So, as you say, in order to win the Stanley Cup, it takes aggravation. It takes pain. And teams are very close. But things get done, you know, and you should not freak out. And even with that, the Vancouver Canucks and the Devils hit a few goalposts along the way. So the difference on winning and losing a Stanley Cup is razor thin. That's point number one.
Yes, sir.
Point number two, the Rangers, for some reason, and especially Peter Laviolette, is playing scared. Play Rempe. So what? He gets a penalty or two if he does. Truba does. You're not benching Truba, are you? You need Rempe's physical play. And I know the referees are targeting Rempe. I understand that. But you know, have a good enough penalty killing unit that you can stand it. But you need Rempe physical play. He inspires not only
the crowd. How many minutes for Rempe tonight?
What I would do or what Lavalette
would do? Yeah, or what you would do or what you're expecting.
I'm expecting at least the first two periods, and maybe he'll cut back on the third period.
Oh, that's a lot. He played 6 minutes in the last game, and most people
usually... Well, he should be playing 10 or 12 at least, if not more than that.
Okay.
And Kreider is going to have a great game tonight. Because when the chips are down and the Rangers need to win and the Rangers need to score goals, Kreider is the man.
Yeah, let's see it. He's got to rise up.
As far as the Yankees, like you said, Corey Pucci is going to be a guy they bring up in the next couple of days. Don't be surprised if this if Pucci is having problems, that the Yankees reach down to Double A and bring up this lefty, Brock Savage. Good pitcher. He's been pitching very well this past month. And one thing I would like for you to investigate, how much effect has Andy Pettit had with Rondon?
Mm-hmm.
I know he also taught the Savage a little bit also, but listen, what was Pettit? Cutter and change-ups. And I really believe Pettit had a big impact on Rondon, and I would like for you to check that out.
Yeah, I can ask around. Thanks for the call, Bruce. I do remember hearing, I forget where I heard it from, so I can't cite it, but... You know, someone was asking about, like, does Andy Pettit come in and Matt Blake get out of the way? Like, when Andy Pettit's talking to the pitchers, you know, does he just have the floor? I'm sure it helps. I'm sure Andy Pettit and his knowledge of the game helps everybody that is listening. 888-808-1019. If you're listening and you want to join the show, we're talking obviously about the Rangers heading into Game 5, a crucial Game 5 in the Garden. I just saw Johnny Lazarus, who I've had on, he just said, and this is something I love about hockey that I just wasn't thinking about ever until I started going to games. Johnny Lazarus said, this is the coldest he's ever felt it in Madison Square Garden. Those bad ice comments were taken personally, it seems. Like, I love that, especially May 30th. It could be warmer outside, but like you go in from, you know, hot, musty, smelly New York City streets into the Garden and hopefully you got a hoodie under your sweater. That's, you know, I think that's cool. The first Devils game I went to, I wasn't expecting that for some reason. I just wasn't thinking about it. And I verbally said, oh, it's cold in here. Yeah, it's a big slab of ice in the middle of the arena that they got to keep cold. I'm very interested in watching this Rangers game. I feel like they've got to set the tone. I feel like all the conversation that was had about game one, about the fans were quiet, the fans were sitting on their hands. Well, what I had said about game one was, yo, it's game one. It's not game five. It's not an elimination game six or seven. It's game one. There's just this wait and see feeling, this nervousness of, oh, we're actually here. Let's see how it goes. Man, you can't let that set in tonight. You also can't let the Panthers take a lead, commanding lead, have another 1-0 lead for 2 hours. Like, the Rangers have to assert themselves. They have to dominate. They have to keep the crowd on their side tonight. And it could be a good night for New York and New York Rangers fans. 888-808-1019. Let's see if I can sneak another call in before we go to break. Tom in Commack, New York, on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. That guy Bruce, I don't know if he watches a lot of hockey because he wants to give Rempe 12 minutes. Let's be real here.
That's why. I was like, wait, how many minutes are we talking about here now?
He didn't know.
Yeah, but it's okay.
He doesn't know how minutes
people
work.
People love Matt Rempe. He's a cult classic. He's a folk hero at this point. But, like, this is the Eastern Conference Finals, bro. You can't.
Yeah, there's a reason he's playing 4 minutes because, you know, he's out there to get the crowd going. But other than that, he's kind of a liability. Let's be real.
Right.
So, obviously, I mean, clearly I'm not a pro Ranger guy here, but I think that this run that they're on, obviously it's amazing, but I think obviously it's on the coattails of Igor Shesterkin, and it's very, very clear. I go back to game one of Carolina, and I can't confidently say that they've been the better team in any game going from now back to game one of Carolina. I don't know if you've watched game for game.
I have.
But
I know there's been a lot of luck, but like you need luck.
I agree. Because, I mean, I'm an Islander fan. I go back to our, you know, COVID runs and all that stuff. And obviously, like, there's plenty of nights that we're not the better team, but we come out with the lucky bounce and the win.
And but if you have good goalie, that's what I've been saying. I'm like, man, the Devils got to get a good goalie. They have to find the guy. Because, like, just having that one player can change your entire fate.
I agree. I think Carolina was the better team in maybe all six of those games. But you compare Igor to Freddie Anderson, and it's night and day.
Yeah, so you need a goalie, you need some luck. And, you know, obviously they had the Chris Kreider hat trick game where one player just took over the game. That's not going to happen ever.
That's what I'm saying. They look dead going into that third period. And then one bounce and boom, they're on to the Eastern Conference Finals. All right, our last point. I think if the Rangers lose tonight, there's no chance they win 6 and 7. I think it probably ends in 6. And I'm almost confident that Mika is very hurt. And Adam Fox is very hurt, and I think that's clearly an issue right now.
All right, Tom. Thanks for the call. But, hey, we're supposed to be positive energy here with about 20 minutes until puck drops. When that puck drops, it's on. And there's no looking back. There's no turning back. I don't know. I think this is a special run for the Rangers, and I think most people have kind of heard my position as a Devils fan. I'm not coming on the air and putting my fandom in front of the story. I don't think I've been a fan long enough to do that. I don't think I've been on the fan long enough to do that, if you're picking up what I'm putting down. You know, this Rangers team all season, they've been a wagon. This Rangers team all year, we've been talking about, hey, this is a team that could win the Stanley Cup. They are 6 wins away from doing that. I'm not saying I'm rooting for them to do that, but I'm also not rooting against it. I'm watching. Like Evan says, an I-ho. But even Evan's not an I-ho. He picked up the Florida Panthers. You know, I don't gain anything out of the Florida Panthers going to the Stanley Cup. The Rangers go to the Stanley Cup, then every night that I'm on the fan, I get to talk about the Rangers being in the Stanley Cup. They win the Stanley Cup, and we get to talk about history being made, a parade coming back to the city, and I'll 100% be there. 888-808-1019-FM, KM in the PM. We'll be right back. Okay, quickly here before the top of the hour, 8 o'clock approaches. Keith McPherson on the fan, 888-808-1019. So the Arizona Diamondbacks have gone to a straight bullpen game. They're using their third pitcher here in the bottom of the second. It's still scoreless in Citi Field. But like I was saying, you know, if you believe in the baseball gods, and if you just watch baseball and you just believe in, like, the fact that you get a new game, a new series, a new day, and the past is in the past, and all you got to do is turn the page. Like, this opportunity for the Mets to win, winning cures all. I think this just played right into their hands with young Christian Scott looking for his first win in front of Mets fans that decided to show up to this game tonight. Let's see if they get it done. I mean, it's not packed in there at all. I made the joke that there's going to be more folks at Madison Square Garden than Citi Field. It's not even a joke. You know, Madison Square Garden will be at capacity. I don't expect more than like 15,000-16,000 folks to be in Flushing. And SNY just showed, you know, some kids up in the 400 level. It's so empty that these kids can just run through multiple sections without disturbing anybody or blocking anyone's view. It's a 400 level. No one's really going to be up there. Even if you buy a ticket that high up, you don't have to go sit up there. But anyway, back to the phones we go. Obviously, we're talking about the Rangers as the Rangers get ready for Game 5. The Rangers are on the ice warming up. And we'll get into the Yankees conversation more in this next hour as we get closer to coverage of Yankees baseball on the fan. Let's go to Peter in Manhattan. Peter, you got it.
How you doing, Keith? Good evening. Just quickly, I was reading the top the three youngest players in the NBA. The first name is Jackson. So I hope Jackson's doing well.
In the NBA?
Keith, Yeah, the three youngest players in the NBA today. First name is Jackson.
Yeah, I know there's a in Major League Baseball, there's Jackson Churio, there's Jackson Holiday, there's a lot of young Jacksons in baseball.
Right.
Yeah, I hope my son is inclined to pick up the bat and ball and mitt.
Right. Yeah, now, Keith, I'm calling for another reason. So I'm reading the other day, I mean, I don't know, that now they're going to incorporate the Negro League history into the Major League records. So as an example now, Josh Gibson, who was the best hitter, he had a lifetime average of 372. So now he's going to be ranked as a top Major League hitter, average-wise, in Major League history, overtaking Ty Cobb. So the question I have, is this correct? And if so, your thoughts. I'll hang up while I hear your thoughts, and thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks, Peter. I've kind of stayed away from the topic because I don't really know how I feel about it. It's been a few days. I've read some things. It's a positive thing, and I don't want to pour cold water on it. But, like, to me, it's nothing. To me, you know, thanks for the call. But, like, if you've followed me and you've seen, like, I've been over there at Hinchcliffe Stadium in Paterson, New Jersey, multiple times now, three times now. And I'm someone that has shown up to support their efforts over there as they restored one of the two lasting Negro League ballparks in this country. Coming up in this month of June will be the Rickwood Field game, where it's almost like Field of Dreams. Down in Birmingham, Alabama, the Cardinals will face the Giants in the other restored Negro League baseball ballpark. Now, with this news of you know, the records and Major League Baseball recognizing the Negro League stats and records alongside of Major League Baseball records, I'll say that I can appreciate it because it is going to tell a story for years to come. It will include that history for years to come. It won't just be 1947 Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier. The story and the stats will be available of the Negro Leagues for kids to learn about forever in that capacity. But at the same time, the Negro Leagues were the Negro Leagues. Why were the Negro Leagues created? Because those guys weren't allowed to play in Major League Baseball. So fast forward all of these years now, to hear the news that, oh, well, you know, the Negro Leagues records and stats, thanks, I guess it's cool, but what does that really do? To me, I don't know. It felt like just kind of empty. It felt like, all right, like, but like, I don't want to pour cold water on it. It's a good thing, and I'm glad that the history will be told. I'm glad that the stories will live on, because once upon a time, they tried to not tell those stories. Once upon a time, they tried to act like, you know, those legends didn't exist. But I don't know. I have an issue with it because in the Negro Leagues, right, there's stories of women playing in the Negro Leagues and all different kinds of characters playing in the Negro League. So now we're going to take those stats and include them with Major League Baseball stats and then have new leaders. And I don't know. None of it matters. The Hall of Fame doesn't matter. It's all a joke. What matters is, I guess they're trying to do right, and better late than never trying to do right. Better late than never trying to correct, you know, the errors of our past. But for me, I hadn't brought it to the table. I had it in my notes, I think on Monday or Tuesday, but I did not really know how I wanted to articulate my point, and I just did my best to do it there. But, you know, when I saw that, you know, congrats to Josh Gibson's family. Rest in peace to him. Right now he's above Ty Cobb. Really, it doesn't mean anything besides the stories of the Negro Leagues will be told so that young kids that are getting into baseball and learning about baseball will understand the history of the racism and the history of the segregation that existed all those years ago. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. To me, it doesn't mean anything. To me, I'm happy that people are celebrating it, but ultimately, what does it do? What does it change? You can't change the past. I guess it changes the future as far as young kids will learn about this in a different capacity. It won't be washed away or act, you know, you can't act like it never happened. 888-729-3776. 808-1019. We're going into the 8 o'clock hour, my last hour tonight on The Fan. This is Keith McPherson, your nighttime host. We're talking about the Rangers, the Mets, the Yankees. Maybe I'll mix in some more NFL conversations right after this.